When I said humble yourself, I was asking you, commanding you, those who had ears to hear, to go to a place of no excuses in my presence. To make no excuses when you heard and hear my word to you as in correction or adjustment or instruction. That there would not be allowed by you the son, the daughter, to raise up with an excuse in your mind of why not, but to accept the admonitions as I give them to you, says the Spirit of grace. Knowing this, that anything that I say to you is not beyond your ability to function in this life and then also fulfill the things necessary to receive this outpouring and this change, that each one of you, none exempt, must go through to receive the revival fires, says the Spirit of grace. We worship you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. For if you can hear the voice of the bridegroom, if you can hear your commander in chief, if your ears are not dull of hearing, but if you're able to hear, then you'll hear this hour, and in this season. Increase. Increase. Increase, says the Spirit of the Lord. Increase your prayer time. Increase your fastings. Increase your coming away into the secret place where you shut the door and hide yourself in secret, says the Spirit of the Lord. Those that will deny this place and say, I can't hear this, or to yourself, you reconcile, I don't hear this. It's because of the distractions in your life. But the sound from heaven is increase. Increase, increase, says the Spirit of grace. Mahalakadesoto. Herediachles, I know, yes, sir. Balachoresi vidiatalach, inimanse. Well, some say, how can I increase what I'm already doing? And the Lord was saying to you, take an account of what you think you're doing, because what you think you're doing is not what you are doing, says the Spirit of grace. For many have heard the call, whether specifically for yourself as an individual, in times gone by, to come away and spend that time. But know this, that in an acknowledgement of my voice speaking to you is not a doing of those things in which I have said, says the Spirit of the Lord. Acknowledging that I have spoken, and acknowledging that I've said, and acknowledging that you know that you're supposed to, does not fulfill, nor will you receive, mahalaso, the internal benefits of that place, says the Lord. But I'm asking for an increase. But I'm asking you first to look very close at what you know specifically that I have said to you as a man or a woman to spend the time And no karasete, yes, sir. And know this, that the humility that I speak of will give no excuse. It'll receive my cleansing and my mercy and grace to fulfill. Hesekalote. But you must. You must come apart. And you must increase. You must increase. You must increase. Jesus, 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 we worship you. Yes, sir. I don't want to say this. I don't want to. Yes, sir. It must. Yes, sir. He said that the present level of corporate collective prayer among you is not enough to birth this thing. At this level, it won't be birthed. It's on the edge. It has all the promise of an expected pregnancy that could come forth. But you'll be pregnant for years with no birthing. I desire not only to speak words of prophecy that edify, but I have a higher goal than words of prophecy. I have a desire to come in power and in demonstration and fulfill the prophecies, says the Spirit of grace. To prophesy the end result is a less than what I desire to be brought forth. Be encouraged to know that I stand on the line to welcome all those who venture past the normalcy of how things are usually in their own lives. Mahalaho. In safe ateskete. Yes, yes, yes. Mahotelese. Mandokedesete. Mendekedesete. You've not totally been at fault. For Satan has offered and bartered with you collectively, not only these, but those listening. He's offered every possible excuse. Why not? And after this day, the excuses will not stop. They will not. I won't send those spirits away because I do not have the authority. The authority rests in your home, in your life, and you as an individual to stand up and choose whether or not you will pray. I must have this authority through prayer. It will not be through any other means. A program, I have no programs. I have nothing that will solicit the flesh that will birth this outpouring, says the Spirit of grace. You're capable of birthing this. But I want you to know, with all love and all kindness to you, if you persist at this level of prayer among you, it will not be birthed. It will not be birthed in this generation. There must be a great increase by my grace, says the Spirit of grace. Mahalasoto. Heretia klasatono. Machares etiatala. Those are heavy words. That's You know why I said I don't want to say that? But nevertheless, this is a revivalist. We haven't had anything but revivalist services now for a while. I just soon quit. Honest to God, sure as I'm standing here with all heaven knowing, I just soon quit. Not quit on God, but give up pastoring. If I had anything less than knowing full-blown revival and outpouring, this is, you guys are great just to hear it and not walk away. But nevertheless, I can't live. I cannot live church programs. Let's get everybody together and have a, and we need to have more fellowship. But I'm telling you, more fellowship, you can fellowship yourself every Saturday and Friday night, and it will not get this thing done. The blind see, the lame walk. I want to spit in the devil's eye at every infirmity that looks at me and laughs back. Because I know this. I can't. I just wish I could read all these. I can't. My mind wouldn't go there. I couldn't. I wanted to read to you the revivals, starting with the Welch, Heberdeens, Azusa, and every single one of them. Every single, they were short-lived snippets. Just a year or two. Azusa was, I think, five. It lasted longer. But every single one of them, every single one of them had one, just one. Some of them were miracles in Azusa. Some of them were just massive salvations. But every single one of them, just, I boil it down, prove it. Every single one of them had this. Corporately, people met and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And they had a prayer meetings and prayer meetings. And then it caught. And then they wanted to. In the Welch revival, I could not believe it. Just teenagers, 14 and 15, were having their own prayer meetings. It said that they were just gathering. They were gathering. Men was walking down the street and they just turned. They just have a prayer meeting. Every place they went, they wanted to go in a home and have a prayer meeting. And it birthed the outpouring. Little kids, grown-ups, everybody, all they wanted to do was pray. Mahala soto. And it birthed something. I'm going to tell you this again. I'm sorry. I am sorry from my standpoint. But he did give this caveat. You could put yourself on a rotation basis and be pleased with him. God. Now, sure, if this is not me, then nothing I've ever said to you is God. I mean, if this is me, then nothing. This is God. God is asking, unless you live in another state or someplace, God is asking us as much as you can to come here Sunday nights and sit in His presence. And you're going to have to humble yourself. Besides, I can do that at home. And you're going to have to humble yourself. Praying in tongues is praying in tongues wherever. All I know is if I don't do this, I'm in no disobedience. I know this is, I'd like to have other services than this where everybody just, you just lift your hands and just magnify Him. I exalt You. I exalt You, Jesus. 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 Mende kalaso. Heretialo soto. Mende kereseti etedeti eti. O baraseti etele. Monde kereseti eti. This came last Sunday morning. If I got into that other, I don't know where I'd start and stop. But there are so many accounts of when the spirit of prayer came on the Welch people. And the people in Los Angeles. There was such a glory that they would be trying to walk to the services, even in L.A. And they'd fall out in the streets. A block, two blocks away, because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is just a short. This came last Sunday. The Lord said this. This is one of the shortest prophecies recently. He said, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. There is a storm among you. And those even that are watching. But now is not the time to go anywhere or contemplate any other major changes in your life. Except you remain in the mothership, you shall not be saved. And he went on to say that doesn't mean salvation. What's the mothership? This house. This ministry. Those ministries out there that are the same on this walk. Teaching this. Taking us into revival. You don't have to. I have to understand. I understand that you have, by your own volition, chose to make yourself what you are. But if you're here, I'm going to try to remember what he said. But if you're hearing what heaven is saying right now, he's saying increase. Increase in time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. We worship you, 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 Jesus. I exalt you. I worship you, Jesus. Manda kerese diatodo. Yes, Lord. Manda kerese diatodo. I didn't know what he was going to do. I spent the hours yesterday in prayer and early this morning. And sometimes he'll just shut you down and say, just speak. Because we're headed towards Jesus meetings, Holy Ghost meetings. A friend of mine in Korea that's an American that's been there for a number of years, he sent me an email yesterday concerning that very prophecy and the glory that was here yesterday. He's so starved. So starved for, he's got a darling wife that loves the Lord, but she doesn't necessarily understand our services as well. But so starved for this type of fellowship. He said, I walked into the coffee shop next to my apartment. He's sending me an email from concerning that service. And sat down at one of the sofas, and this is in South Korea. I've probably been close to where he lives. As what often happens, quite a few folks got up and left or either moved their chairs away. He said, I'm hoping it's God's presence that makes them uncomfortable, even though I feel spiritually dry. He said, wanted to let you know how much I embraced last week's services in the mornings. In the morning, people are feeling that presence through the camera. Even at another continent. I felt deeply impacted by the way we cried out included himself in our service in worship to Jesus during the message. My spirit hasn't burned with the love of God like that in a long time, he said, and I experience considerable weeping. The exhortation of being persecuted for righteousness' sake was also an encouraging reminder of what I'm going through in the workplace. The whole service was so beautiful, orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. I greatly appreciate you and your extreme sensitivity to his leading. I want his peace and joy to grow so strong in me that all who know me in Korea will be touched by his, by the love of God. Folks, I believe that you, for some of you may not. And I understand that everybody that comes here is not seeking revival, but loves the Lord most, for the most part. This battle, for me to say this, it'll sound so maybe benign. This war is real. This war is real. I wish, but I don't wish, that for some of you that your spiritual eyes could be opened at times and you would see in the room, in the spirit. Of what is trying to influence and hold back. But you know what? We're going to have this. We're going to have this. The only reason why he can talk to us this way, and I know it's tough. I know it's the tougher levels. But the only reason why he can talk to us this way is because he can. What does that mean? Because you've got ears to hear. Printed a few things. I don't know. Okay. You've heard this, but he once says, okay, I want you to read it again. Yes, sir. Just listen. Because this is the fight. This is the war. This is the war that we're in right now. And there's either going to be two camps that you live in. There's only going to be one or two camps that you live in. You're either going to go with the amusement park or you're going to be in the army of the Lord, whether you're really in it. Not that you go to the church that is in it, but you really are. So I know you've heard this of 3 weeks ago, but he had me print it and I didn't know for sure. But I want you to listen to it again. And I saw this. I really saw this vision. I didn't expect it, but I saw it. And then I saw it on the inside. I could see it. And it just run like a movie. It wasn't hard to write down, because when you're watching a movie, if you're just watching it and you can hit pause and then write and watch the movie, you can just write it down. It's just real easy. So this was a movie. I saw it like a movie. Sometime on the morning of January the 11th, after a time of prayer, I had a mini vision, but then it started as a mini vision, but then it really expanded. The vision was totally unexpected, but nevertheless appeared in picture form inwardly. I don't know how that works. I don't know how you can see something inwardly in your eyes. I guess when I'm looking at something inwardly, I don't even remember what I was looking at on the outside, but I'm just looking at something on the inside. And the picture played over and over. And anytime I needed to stop, it stopped. And then when I wanted to write, it write. Or I could write because I could see it. The vision was totally unexpected, but nevertheless appeared in picture form inwardly. It was a split screen picture with two distinct images on either side. I just, it's kind of like watching a picture at home. On the left side of the screen, I saw an amusement park. And on the right side of the screen, I saw a battlefield. I knew in the vision that it was a picture not to be observed, but rather what it meant was a picture of choice. And I've learned through the years that when I see something like this, God is speaking, and it's important that I listen carefully to what He's seeking to reveal. I also know that it is important to record as soon as possible the vision or prophetic word that nothing is lost. And I believe I got it down before I started thinking. The following is what I believe to be a prophetic interpretation as I began to sit and write over the next few days. The following was revealed to me in an allegory form. This is the first time I've ever written, I think, in it, that type of allegory form. It is not to be understood as a prophetic word for word, but as an interpretation as I'm watching, I'm looking, and I'm writing as an inward vision. I saw a man much like in the book of Pilgrim's Progress, standing at a fork in the road. In front of where he stood, there were two gates of entry, one on the left and one on the right. It was as if looking at a split screen. These were not just still pictures, but entries into two moving worlds. They both met together in the middle, and I could see that. That was amazing. They met together, and yet somehow they were totally separate. On the left appeared to be something like an amusement or theme park, and it held all of the promise of fun, excitement, adventure, attraction of every sort. There were lights and galas and food from every cuisine, all under the theme of Christianity. This wasn't just any theme park. It was a Christian theme park. It offered the promise of life and self-fulfillment. On the right side was a mostly dark and desolate-looking land that offered really no promise of beauty. It appeared as the desolation of something like a World War I battlefield. Because of continual bombing, and it was cratered, the cratered field had very little vegetation in sight. The amazing part was that I saw no soldiers, although I knew that they were there. They were either too few in number, or most had moved on to a forward position where the real fight existed. Back at the amusement park, there was a party spirit among everyone. The crowd was not hard to see. It was not hard to see here. In fact, it was very crowded. It was hard to squeeze through the mix of people. The amusement park was designed to keep Christians happy and amused their entire lives and never question their decision of choosing the amusement park over the battlefield. At the gate were families and individuals, all entering in under the sign that read, "The Gospel of Illusion." There were no tickets to be had, nor anything to be handed to the gatekeepers. No money passed hands, but only an oath was to be repeated. The oath was, "I pledge to believe whatever I see, hear, and feel with my physical senses. And I will not by any means consider any inward promptings that question or contradict the standards of the amusement park. I promise to ignore them and consider them man-made or satanic in origin." Almost immediately, there was a strange peace that settled over each individual that took the oath. Each Christian thought, "This peace feels different than the one I felt when I first received Christ." But as soon as they had that thought, there was an immediate reminder of the oath, to question nothing. And with that, there was a resolve that this peace was not a counterfeit. Once on the inside the gate, there seemed to be more options than could be imagined. The path of each corridor was wide and spacious, as if to make room for everyone. There were ministry theaters scattered all about that the people were crowding into. In each show, a gospel was preached that filled the audience with excitement. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A gospel was preached that was so close to the truth. No one dared to mention that it gave no reference to self-denial, repentance, or obedience. In addition to that, it was confirmed by emotional weeping. You know, if you're weeping, it's got to be God, right? There was an emotional weeping of the crowd, hearing how good God was in providing such a wonderful life, free from all condemnation. Tears and emotions were understood to be the presence of God. Once a person left one theater, there was always something more to see and do. Strangely enough, there were at times sounds from a distance, almost too far away to distinguish. These sounds seemed to be coming from an outside of the dome that covered the entire park, meant to impede outside interference. The park played a sweet melody of Christian favorites through the intercom system. The music kept the crowd somewhat sedated, but every once in a while, something would break through like a radio frequency to override it only for a few seconds. The sounds seemed to be that of a war somewhere. There were battle sounds of swords and shields clashings and bombs going off in the distance. And there were directives that could be heard from a commander who instructed the army to continue to move forward and not stop. When the army heard that command, you could hear shouts of victory and singing. And the army would also shout, "Come and join the army of the Lord." Immediately after this strange override, you could hear a voice coming through the intercom system trying to sound calm. I remember seeing that. Sound calm, but masking a real frustration. The voice would tell the park visitors to ignore what they had just heard, and that some rogue group was trying to plant a virus called truth in the park's intercom system. The voice would then remind everyone that they should remember the oath to believe no outside interference. There were so many rides to go on that the list seemed endless. One of the most favorite rides in the park was called My Best Life Now. On this ride, You were exhilarated by all the promises of blessings and eternal security without commitment. You laughed, you cried, and you could hardly catch your breath at the top of the coaster when you saw all the wonderful things that Christ had provided for you to have your happy ever after, with very little or no commitment on your part. There was also a prosperity ride. This ride promised prosperity for your personal benefit through a promise of formulas. Giving a financial gift, it started the ride. And the way you made it go faster was just to give more. Anytime the ride slowed down only meant you were not giving enough, but just The excitement of becoming rich was enough to dispel all discouragement of why it really didn't work. It really wasn't working. There were so many food courts. Food trucks and stands were everywhere you look. The most popular food truck was the one of personal prophecies, with no commitment of personal time in prayer or the word. You could stop by and receive a personal prophecy of how great you were and all the magnificent plans God had for your life. And again, no words of self-sacrifice or crucifixion of the flesh were not allowed. There was even a dunk tank on one corner with a clown named Fasting. Each time Fasting was dunked, the crowd laughed wildly at the thought of the religious church believing that fasting was still necessary when Jesus, he paid the entire price. There were booths where you could drop by and give a donation to the poor, the missionary efforts in Africa, or some impoverished part of the planet. The booths promised a soothing of all conscience regarding any past disobedience to become personally engaged in evangelism. There was a promise of tears and a warm, fuzzy feeling of benevolence and affirmation. There it was again, but this time even louder, the interruption of the hypnotic music, the sound of war, battlefield cries, and the sound of billions of souls in a lost and dying world. And again, the reminder to ignore the interruption. Although the creature comforts were being so fitly interwoven with what appeared to be the true gospel, something was extremely wrong. There was no real joy among the people. The crowd seemed continually dissatisfied. The energy that the people had at the entrance of the park soon after salvation seemed to be waning moment by moment. Now they were sluggish. No contentment, complaining about everything. Nothing seemed to satisfy them. They wandered about like zombies. The further they went into the park, the more exasperated they looked. Every once in a while, they got an adrenaline rush and a pick-me-up by attending a theater called My Dream Home, New Car, or Next Vacation. But that only seemed to last until the new was gone. And I just want to stop right here. It is not wrong to have your dream home. That's not wrong. It's not wrong to go on a vacation. It is absolutely. But if any of those, see, you've got two types of vision. You've got a pupil, straightforward vision that I'd look at it. And then you've got a peripheral. This is kind of fuzzy. This is peripheral. This is fuzzy vision. I can see it, but I'm not focused on it. If anything in this life, everything, all good things, all blessed things, all things given to you must go from here to here. You must walk in all things in peripheral vision. In other words, if your joy ever turns, if the blessing which he would like to give ever comes around and circumspect and becomes here instead of here, it's out of order. All things can be enjoyed. But Paul said, I will not be brought under the ascendancy of anything. Ah, yeah. Yeah, that vehicle. You're impressed with it? It helps me get to church. This home helps me entertain for God. And if I go into your home, I should be able to say, where is it? Where's what? Where is it? Where's what? Where? I mean, you know, the place. Where's the place? Where's the place where you meet with Him? Where's the room where your life is being changed? Where's the corner? Show me the chair. Show me the chair. Can I touch it? Can I touch it? Can I touch the couch where your whole life is being changed? Is this it? Yeah. Oh, man. Whoo, man. Oh, I didn't know that I was. Then your life is like this instead of like this. You should have two visions. Trust among this group was little to none. These are all the friends that you have that don't go to a church like this. They love God. Most of them are going to heaven. But if they're not on a walk, and they don't have to be in this church, but they're not on a walk of teaching them dying and a vision that, because whether or not they can hear it or their pastor can hear it, God's heart is the harvest. God's heart is the reinsurgence. This is it. This is the bottom line. The kingdom of God coming and being reestablishing on this planet. That's the heart of God. Not how much money you make. I'm hoping you make a bunch of it, because a lot of you need to facilitate this. By the way, people are what God uses, not angels, not supernatural, and He will send. But I've never had, nobody's ever financed anything around here that I didn't know. Do you understand that? Or was a connection? It's like, wow, I didn't. If you're living in some some crazy thought process, God will just send it. He can send it by angels. He can drop it. He sends it by people, and people that we know. You're one of those people. Believe for your finances to be blessed. Because I'm going to tell you something, and I hope this flabbergasts you and you flips your wig, and I hope it's just like, oh God, I can't believe. We need millions of dollars. We need millions. I'm not talking about thousands. We need millions. What if you take it? You have not seen me do that in almost 29 years. Any big gift that's ever come in here, I did not take that gift. And I will never take that gift. I get a salary. If a big gift comes in, I just say, glory to God. Means I get a paycheck next week. That's pretty cool. Glory. Unless you come up and say, this is yours. That's not an advertisement. That's not a solicitation. I'm just telling you, we need millions. Millions. You shouldn't. I am not ashamed or embarrassed to tell you we need millions. For anything presently, when he gets us to where we need to be for that property and that place and the revival, I do not want any. I don't even want to talk about money during that time. I want it to just be there and just don't even talk about it. I don't want to talk about the lesser things, because that's the lesser things. The blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, and thousands being born again. That's the stage that we want to live on. Trust among this group was little to none. You know, your friends, God bless them, that are even in Christendom, they think they're happy. They think they're happy. I bought a bigger boat. I bought a bigger house. Now, again, for us, if God blesses you with that, it's because that's not what you wake up every morning thinking about. And if you do think about it, you say, no, you're not going to. You can count, because sometimes you need to take stock of what you got. But you say, Lord, whatever I do have, it's over there. It's not the apple of my eye. But your friends, God bless them. You don't condemn them, but they're looking for this kind of life. I recounted the story this week. It's an amazing hour we live in. This is not to brag or anything. It's just amazing. Taught Brazil on Tuesday night, and 6 o'clock on Thursday morning, I was 2 hours and 15 minutes with Gary talking to a whole bunch of people in Sydney, Australia. And they're hungry. They're just, I mean, God, they're hungry. They're just baptizing people and getting them born again, spirit-filled. It's incredible. I recounted a story because they asked a question, and Gary was talking, I talked, Gary talking. And I don't know how it came up, but I remember the vision Dave had. Now, I could tell you who it was, but I'm not going to, that came to the Maybe Center. How you doing up there, Robert? Good. He came to the Maybe Center, and thousands turned out because he was a great healing evangelist. Some of you could guess. But it's not about him anyway. There's no indictment against him. Dave was somewhat known, but he was the best kept secret in Tulsa, really, I think. Him and Dad Hagen. Everybody knew Dad Hagen, but and a lot of people knew Dave, but they brought him in because they recognized him, and you know, this thing's about to start, and thousands were gathered, and he got pretty close to the front because they want to honor him. But as the crowd kept coming, other distinguished guests and other preachers kept showing up. And the ushers would come and say, we're sorry, but we need to move you back because this is going to be for, we need to set so-and-so here. And he said, you know, Dave is the most unassuming. He don't care. He don't care if you put him in a broom closet because he knows who he is. And he said that happened. I think it happened about three times. It might have happened more. He said before it was over, he was way back in the back. They just moved him and moved him and moved him. Because they were jockeying, you know, putting more people, more ministers that were supposedly more well known. And at some point, I think it was when they stood up to break or something, but at some point, he was like, all of a sudden, he was like, he didn't expect it. He wasn't thinking about it. He looked at the room and all these church people, they all took on some kind of image. And all of them standing there, he was like, but he could still see it. They all turned plastic. They all had a facade. They all had a facade to them. They were living human beings, but they were plastic. They weren't real. And that's when the Lord said to him, you want to know where revival's at, son? Revival doesn't exist in the person that comes to church. Revival is birthed by the person that they leave at home. Whether that person has come to a place of authority and character change. That's the real you. In other words, the real you is hardly ever, what he was saying to him then, ever allowed to come to church. But the plastic, see, he doesn't care. God doesn't care a bit about how you treat an elder or me. What he cares about It's how you treat your wife at home. That's the real you. Well, I don't have a wife. How would you treat her? It's not the one that comes and... Your level of spirituality is not here. Here's a celebration. Your level of authority to move us together as rivers of living water and going forward is when you are in your, excuse me, BVDs on the couch and your old tore up t-shirt, how you treat your kids and what kinds of words come out of your mouth and the level of character that you walk in every day when nobody sees or hears. Plastic usually comes to church. But when plastic, when the real you comes, and that's what revival is, the real you coming, and you're no different at church than you are at home. That's worth coming for. Hallelujah. Your friends that are Christian friends, they're probably good people, but there's a whole lot of layers that you don't even know. Whew. I wish Callie was here. She'd amen me, whether I was right or wrong. I don't know. Thank you. Appreciate that. Trust among this group was little to none. There was a plastic kind of facade that never allowed the real person to be seen. Although they high-fived and fist-bumped, there was no real camaraderie. There was no real intimacy or trust that anyone really cared or had anyone's back. Divorce was an absolute favorite ride. The park provided divorce instantaneously for almost any reason. All that mattered was the individual's happiness. The further you went into the park, rides of immorality of every sort were provided with only a promise of God's grace that shielded from all judgment. Sometimes months, years, and even lifetimes would pass so quickly that no one noticed. There were also many other phenomena in the park to be observed. There were places called transport portals where an individual could choose to be transported all the way back to the beginning of their salvation. They could go all the way back to the gates of choice. The only requirement for the transport portal was true biblical repentance. But there were also other strange phenomena taking place. The more that people moved towards the back of the park, further in, they became entirely deaf to certain sounds. Although the battle cries and the invitation from the army of the Lord still interrupted the intercom system, the crowd could no longer hear the invitation. Strangely enough, towards the back of the park was another exit. This exit was a gate into eternity. This exit required no sense of choice. And something like a gravitational pull was bringing everyone to this gate with or without their desire to go there. I could see this. I was riding. I don't know. It was God that wrote that. I just was writing what I saw. The closer everyone got to this gate, groups were being formed almost instinctively. It seemed as if no one noticed that they had joined groups. It just happened. Sometimes families were separated from each other by these groups. In other words, choices. It doesn't matter. Choices separate families. A very large group was called loss of reward. Although this group never truly joined the army of the Lord, they still retained enough to go through the exit gate and enter into heaven. but with very little to show for a Christian life lived inside the park. And that's where a big mass of the body of Christ is at. Still, another almost equally large, this one's serious, group had formed, which was called the Five Foolish Virgins. This group seemed to be all the more belligerent the closer they got to the gate. They were professing themselves to be wise, yet they became fools. They never noticed that somewhere in the park their internal lights had gone out. They moved closer to the gate of eternity while always believing that they were prepared to enter into the gate that read in bold lights, the joys of the Lord. But something terrifying took place just seconds before each one entered the gate. The lights of the gate would glitch, and another sign would appear, which read, "Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it." With this, there was a gnashing of teeth and clawing at the sides of the gates. I saw that. I saw people going like this. Stop, stop, hold me. They tried to hold their footing and stay in the park, but now it was too late. All choices were over. The battlefield side of the screen seemed to get very little attention given to me by the Lord in comparison to this amusement park. The battlefield represents the last day army of the Lord. These are revivalists. These are the ones who are becoming laser focused on their assignment to harvest the planet. These are the ones who are choosing every day to abandon their lives and become bondservants of the Lord. These are the ones who understand the call to become narrowly focused. The Lord said to me, this army will rescue millions, not only on the battlefield of this world, but they will rescue millions from the amusement park. They will rescue not only those with the loss of reward, good news, but also from the five foolish virgins. The Lord closed this visitation with me with this scripture, and I'll read it to you. We're getting close. It's Revelation 7, 9 through 12. He said, after this is John, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, and saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Marty, you can crank that back up if you can. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just worship the Lord for just a few minutes. We've got just a few minutes before we leave. Lead us in something, Robert. Hallelujah, Jesus. I glorify you, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. We're going to close this service with an invitation to do this. And I see this in the future. We're going to have a lot more. Last year was teaching, notes, and that's not going to go away. I love multiple scriptures. Sometimes you get tons of scriptures. Sometimes it's an exhortation Sunday like today. But there is going to be more and more Holy Ghost services where the power of God is going to fall from the very beginning. And we're going to see some things and experience some things. But right now, everyone, unless you're just not able to make it to the front, that's fine. This doesn't distinguish that your heart's not in it. But we've heard, myself included, I heard that this morning along with you, that he's asking for more. And he's also asking, And I'm just saying this about myself. He's asking for no excuses of why I can't give him more. And for me to reconcile, like, well, I thought I was doing it. And realize sometimes I wasn't doing it as much as I thought I was doing it. Hallelujah. Here's a word from the Lord. Here's a real, you might not think this, and not, this isn't a thus saith like prophecy, but it is a word from the Lord. It really is. Unless you've got something like somebody has to get in touch with you, or you're looking out for somebody's safety or whatever, learn how during your times to either turn your cell phone off or do not disturb. We cannot adulterate these prayer times. If he's asked you to spend 2 or 3 hours or whatever time, don't pray 10 minutes and then check the news or check your website or check this or check. Spend that time in unadulterated, meaning you're not messing with this, you're not messing with that. I think all of us are guilty. It's another commitment. It's another place. Turn those cell phones off, people. Do you understand? He's trying to take us to another place. If it's in your heart this morning, and I know that it is by everyone, you've all pulled with me. You say, Pastor, parts are maybe hard. I know. I'm like, Jesus, I'm listening. But we are going to birth this. Our antiphonal, God says something. Our antiphonal back to him is, Lord, maybe not at the present state of where we're at, but we're not going to stay this place. We're going to the next level. We're going to the next level. And if you want to say, I just want to commit my body. Before we leave here, we've got 10 minutes. Come and stand with me in this place, and let's just pray a prayer before God, a confessionary prayer, that we are going to walk into this thing. So if you would, just move forward. I'd like to get a couple of you. Move this, please. Here we go. We got some guys. So just either side or up on stage. I don't care. So everybody that can, I wish all of you watching that you could step in, but you're at home. You're stepping into this. Hallelujah. And just move forward. Give everybody room. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Palasata la Christete. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Sing it.
You are able.
Sing it.
You will restore. At the table of the Lord, come all you weary, come and find. Your yoke is easy, your burden light, and he is able, he will. At the table of the Lord, come all you weary, come and find. His yoke is easy, his burden light. He is a
Hallelujah, Jesus.
At the table of the Lord. At the
Hallelujah, table Jesus.
Of the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
At the table of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Would you say these words with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that this is not law. This is all based on your love. And this commitment is based upon your love and grace. It's not built upon the works and law, but a law in the Spirit. And that is your grace. Father, I just commit myself in this year going forward to spend more time in prayer, to spend more time in fasting. Wherever it starts, if it's 30 minutes a day, an hour a day, hours a day, Lord, I'm committing myself to more and more of your grace. I realize that every day will be different. Some days there may be very little prayer, but I'll go right back in. Jesus, I choose to be a revivalist and help bring about the fullness of the kingdom in these last days. I will humble myself and say, yes, Jesus, if you've asked us to do this, then it will be by your grace. And based on your grace, we can do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We love all of you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Have a wonderful day and be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Love all of you watching. Amen.